I'm proud of all of our men, and God has just given us wonderful families, not just men, wonderful families in our church. And behind every man, they say, is a good woman. Amen, Jessica? So, but, you know, it thrills my heart to see our young men that are willing to step up and do. And when I hear of Tom and Grace answering the call of ministry, that is just, it encourages my heart so much. And you know, I think back, you guys been here 3 years?
A little over
3 years. And to see what God's done, Jessica and Boone, in your lives in this time is just phenomenal. When you guys first came, Boone was really pretty bashful. And he wouldn't talk a whole lot. I mean, he would, but, boy, God just got a hold of his heart, and he's just, they've stepped up. He's faithful. His clockwork just, I have utmost respect for this young man. And I know that our country is much better off when we have men like this in our military. And that's just an absolute fact. And I'm proud for him. Got his first bull out yesterday. Brother Sam, thank you for taking him out there and doing that. And Jessica said he didn't stop smiling all day long yesterday. So I can understand that. And got a first bull out this year. Got his first little boy this year. And man, it's just, it don't get much better than that, brother. That's for sure. So, but it's an honor to have Boone to come and speak to us tonight. And you listen to him. I know God will use him tonight as he speaks to our hearts.
Well, that's hard to follow. Almost makes me want to not say a word and just have a prayer and go home. But I appreciate it, brother. And it's been a great blessing for Jessica and I and now Thomas to be here. And we thank every one of y'all for making us welcome here. And I don't know how many of y'all we've shared this with, but when we first got married, I was still in college. She was working to keep me still in college. And it was back in little city called Russellville, Arkansas. And they had several churches in town, just like most of the cities in the South do. But we looked all over that town, and we found one church that the pastoral staff, which included men and women, which that'll kind of give you a snapshot of their philosophy there, decided that, you know, just to make everybody feel more comfortable and to make it cool and, you know, hip for the younger crowd, that everybody just wear slacks and polo shirts and drink coffee and have donuts during the service and during worship and everything like that. And then we went to another, the First Free Will Baptist Church there in town, and managed to make it in, sit through the whole sermon and leave without being spoken to one time. And then we went to another church that had maybe five or six people, and the pastor, you know, would halfway present, you know, the gospel, and then, you know, he was more focused on playing video games and getting the people in, you know, through pop culture and that type thing. So we weren't able to find a church that we felt comfortable being faithful to, and so we didn't go that much. And then we came out here and we were, you know, praying and looking and hoping for a great church, and we just happened to drive by here probably the first week we were in town and said, hey, let's give it a shot. And it's been home ever since. So that's obviously not my message, but just I'd like to share that with you guys and say thanks, because without this church, without the church family, there's no telling where the three of us would be. So thank you. But I'll go ahead and get into my message tonight. I don't think it's going to be quite an hour's worth, so don't be scared. I'm not going to beat Randy's record score, but we're going to try here. But like Pastor said, and like most of y'all know, I'm in the Army, and I'm proud to be in the Army and proud to serve our country because of what it's built on and what it truly is a Christian nation. And it's difficult for me anymore to go to work and know the leadership that we have at the national level and even the leadership we have inside the military that isn't faithful to that heritage. They're not faithful to really sometimes any God, and if it is, it's not the God, it's just a pagan God or a cult or what have you. So I was, you know, really kind of searching for a message that was relevant to the times we're in and also had some parallels through history. So I'll share with you the chapter and verse here in a minute, but tonight's message is going to be primarily out of the book of Hosea. And I've titled it, An Unfaithful Nation Under Reproach. And it basically starts out like this. As we approach the election time and look back on the recent history of our country, I really start to wonder if we are under or at least on our way to seeing God's admonishment on our country. If we're just begging for, you know, a spanking from the Lord Almighty because of what we've done and what we're allowing to go on in our country. Although we, like I said, we are a Christian nation, no matter what our national leaders like to tell other people, based on our heritage and our founding, that's what we are. But right now, looking inside or looking inward from the outside, I really don't think many of us could agree that that's what we act like. Right now, America is one of those insincere Christian entities that we've talked about from time to time that's probably one of the most dangerous things a person or an organization can be. We profess to be something that we don't show ourselves to be by our outward acts. And like Pastor said time and time again, none of us are the judge of a man's heart and know whether he's going to heaven or hell. That's for God to judge. But it also says in the Bible, through their fruits you shall know them. And that's where it's really dangerous for America as a country right now, because we're not showing what we really are or what we say we are. We discourage others, and this is both individuals and other countries, from knowing Christ and from basing their government and their belief systems on Christ by professing to be something we're not portraying ourselves to be. Right now, our government allows sin that any other time in this country's history would have been taboo for private or public conversation at worst, and illegal at best. The premeditated murder of innocent babies perpetrated under the guise of women's health care is one. The joining of homosexual couples and a government-sanctioned approval of an abomination before Almighty God is called same-sex marriage, which, first of all, we all know it's not marriage because it's obviously not one man and one woman. It's more like a fruit cocktail, if you want to be honest about it. Another one, covetous is encouraged in our youth under the cover of professional achievement. We're teaching our kids right now that to be successful and to be good in the eyes of the world, you've got to have stuff. You've got to have somebody else's stuff. And you've got to have better stuff than somebody else. Because, you know, Johnny or Susie shows up in Nikes and your kid got their tennis shoes at Walmart, they're obviously not good enough. Immodesty plagues our adolescents and young adults because it's cool or in style or because everyone else is doing it. And adultery permeates every aspect of our society, from the morally casual, unsaved families to the families of men who've been ordained into the holy service of God Himself. And at an alarming rate, too. You hear about it every day. Day in, day out. I'm an investigating officer right now for a case at work that, you know, a couple's going through a divorce. She came up pregnant, and now there's accusations going around. I mean, obviously, that's a bad situation just made worse, but adultery's everywhere. We're afraid to offend as a country. We're afraid to be different. We've turned away from God and His Word just so we don't look humble and just so we don't look reliant on anybody but me. It's all about us. We can't say, you know, hey, I need your help. I need God's help, which we all do. So if you would, we'll get into the text of our message tonight. If you would, turn with me to chapter 4 of the book of Hosea. And we'll be looking at an excerpt from chapter 4 and chapter 5. And it's verses 1 through 7 in chapter 4, if you want to mark it, and verses 5 through 7 in chapter 5. And in these verses, it's what I was talking about earlier. I'm going to try to draw a parallel between where Israel has been at one point in their history and where we are now. And I think you'll see that if we don't straighten ourselves out by making a great right turn somewhere here in the future, that we're going to be headed right down the same road. So in chapter 4 of Hosea, it begins out, and my Bible's got some, I guess they're like subtext notes in here. It kind of gives you a description of what the next section of Scripture is going to be about. And my Bible says, the Lord's controversy with Israel. And it begins, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Boy, doesn't that sound terribly familiar? "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore thou shalt fall in the day, and the prophet shall also fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And they were increased, so they sinned against me, therefore I will change their glory into shame." And then in chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children, and shall a month devour them with their portions." If you would, bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and ask that you would just bless this time we spend together in your word, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would make our hearts receptive to your teachings, and that you would use me as an instrument tonight, Lord, in this most sacred of office that it's my honor and my privilege to speak from tonight. That just use me to convey what you would have the Holy Spirit say to these people, Father. And Lord, I just ask that you would get honor from the things that are said tonight and from the worship that we partake in. And Father, I just ask that you would give me the words you'd have me to say and bless this time we spend together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we see in Hosea chapter 4, Israel's turned their back from the God that rescued them from slavery in Egypt and brought them through the desert for 40 years into the sanctuary of the promised land. They're tolerating, if not embracing, a myriad of sins throughout the nation. And that's what they listed off there in the first couple of verses of chapter 4. Swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery. Hosea goes on to say that Israel will literally die off with the beast of the field before them. God will punish them by destroying what he gave them to sustain them and for their good. All this is true because they refuse to take the truth of God's inerrant word. And as it reads in, as the Bible reads in Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge." It's not that you haven't been told. It's that you've been told and you've been taught over and over and over again, and you ignore it and you go against it of your own free will just because you think you know better than God does. "I will also reject thee," it says, "that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." It's just like Pastor spoke about in Psalms the other day, where David's iniquity with Bathsheba will continue to plague generation after generation after generation, all up until modern day. Because these people didn't take heed to God's word, their children are going to get punished for it. And through that, their children's children, and so forth and so on. And that's what we're doing right now. I mean, just look at our national debt. We're setting up $16 trillion. I had to sit down and think the other day. That's 12 zeros. I mean, that's a lot of money. I can't even imagine that. So we're on that course ourselves. And then in verse 7, it says, "As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame." Right now, I think it's safe to say that maybe not in all aspects, but in a lot of aspects, especially in the public sector of life, our country is sinning against God right now, openly. And we're not trying to fix it. It's not something that we've said, okay, we're wrong. Now we need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to the principles this country was founded on. We're just saying, nope, we know better. We're just going to keep going. So if we stay on that road, I have a pretty good suspicion that Hosea's prophecy is going to come true for America too, and God will turn our glory into shame. He'll take all the great things that we've done and just wipe it away because we don't care to listen to him. And that it could be done through several ways. I was sitting here thinking the other night, praying about this, and I thought of several ways that, you know, right now it's blatantly obvious how God could, you know, show us that he is almighty through our own actions. It could be through our election of ungodly leaders. Gee, doesn't that sound familiar? Energy crisis, that's, you know, some say right around the corner. I don't know if it is or not, if we would just wake up and, you know, draw on the energy we have here at home. Or maybe through the laziness of our people and the destruction of the economy by the abuse of the welfare system and the impending socialism that we're on the road to right now. And our glory of the past will clearly fade if we stay on this road. It'll go towards the shame of Marx and Stalin and Mussolini and, God forbid, but even Adolf Hitler. Because among from killing Jews, he was also all about socialism and government run everything, and he wanted total control. And that's where we're at. In chapter 5 of Hosea, we learn, as it's stated in Psalm 16:18, that pride goeth before destruction. Hosea prophesies in verses 5 through 7 that the pride of Israel doth testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. If you continually sin against God without, you know, without coming before him and admitting it and repenting and going away from that sin, you will fall as an individual and countries will fall for the same reason. They shall go to seek the Lord, it says, but they shall not find him because he has withdrawn himself from them. God will take his hand off of this country if we don't fix it. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. And in the center notes of my Bible, they translate strange into pagan. And I think we can see that all around us. Now a month shall devour them with their portions. We as a nation will be held responsible for the commission of our people's sin if we don't do our part to prevent it. We don't do our part to change it right now. It's already taken longer than a month for our proud nation to be devoured. But the strange children, as they're called, are taking their places in the highest, most influential offices in our government to ensure this country's destruction. We too will fall to our iniquities if we don't turn from our ways and seek the face of God. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 144. It's everything that you could, you know, need as a soldier. It's everything that you could need as a leader. And that's what David was, and that's his inspiration for writing it. And it starts with David beseeching God's blessing on his armies and continues into a prayer of a godly leader and a godly king whose greatest desire for his people is success for them. And if you would turn over there with me to Psalm 144, we'll read the last few verses of it. Just as reference. But in verses 11 through 15 of Psalm 144, David asks for God's protection and deliverance for his people. In verse 11, it says, "Rid me and deliver me from the hands of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in the streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. This is nothing more than just David's adamant request for God's protection and deliverance from those strange children who we find ourselves under and around and beside every day. It's what I believe we need right now in this country, as individuals and as a country. Our founding fathers relied upon God's word. They built this country on this book right here. They had nothing else to build it off of. The Magna Carta didn't work. The Articles of Confederation didn't work. And England sure wasn't going to write a book for them to tell them how to run the country they just got whooped by. They relied on this word, on this book, for instruction in creating and building and maintaining this country as a blessed refuge for the religiously and politically oppressed from around the world. Now those of us who rely upon these same Judeo-Christian ethics and mores to guide our lives are the oppressed people in need of a refuge. And I want to encourage you tonight, all of us, to seek that refuge in Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as your Savior, I hope, honestly hope and pray tonight's the night you come to the realization of eternal salvation and make your life right so you know you're going to heaven. All you've got to do is believe in Jesus and trust him. It's that simple. If you already know Jesus, may you continue to renew your relationship with Almighty God through prayer for the salvation of our nation and all who reside here. Because it's going to take a nation of Christians to rebuild a Christian nation. We can't do it with these liberals and hippies running around in the streets who want free love and free marijuana and all this other stuff that God specifically forbids in his word. They're not going to help us rebuild this nation as a Christian nation. It's our duty as Christians to lead them to Christ and to rebuild this nation through other people. And let every one of us pray that these strange children who are leading us right now, I'm convinced that term strange children points directly to innumerable amounts of leaders that, you know, you could sit here and name. It'd take too long to count them all, so I'll just skip the names for now. But I think we all know who we're talking about. Just pray for them. They need salvation as much as any of us. And just pray that their ideals are struck down and that they release their grip on this country. And pray that our countrymen all over and all of our leaders will act in accordance with God's will and our country's founding to return this to a truly Christian nation. Proud of our God, not proud of ourselves. Because we didn't build this place. God let us build it. God allowed it to happen. For without God, we would have never been blessed with this great place we were all born and raised to love. Remember, we have not only because we ask not. We need to ask that God will convict the hearts of our leaders and our people. We need to beg his mercy on this nation. And in closing, I kept it pretty short. I just ask you to consider these last two verses. The first verse is Matthew 21:22. Where it says, all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That means all we've got to do is ask. Just ask the Lord to guide our nation, to guide our leaders, to guide each one of us every day, and he'll do it. Just believe in him. And the last verse I want to reference tonight is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where we're told to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, all we've got to do is ask him. Ask him and have faith and be thankful for what he does for us, which is another major problem. That's a whole other topic in itself. We're blessed and blessed and blessed, and we just act like we deserve it. Just like all these entitlements that the people of our country have been allowed to live on and allowed to believe they deserve. Sam and Pastor and Steve and I had lunch the other day and we were talking, the only thing you deserve and the only thing you're entitled to by being born in this country is having a free will and an equal chance to work your tail off and make something out of yourself. That's the only thing you're entitled to. Everything else you have to earn. So we should all be thankful for what we have and what God's blessed us with. And that's really the extent of my message. I just ask that, you know, we'd all go throughout the coming weeks and months, especially with November coming up, and just pray for our country, because we definitely need it. And just want to thank you all again and thank Pastor for the opportunity to speak. It's definitely a great privilege to be up here and to just to get to stand behind God's desk and speak to his people who I've grown to know and love and become my friends and family. And you guys are great for listening to me, and I appreciate it.
Good job. Amen. Good job. Amen. I've thought a lot in the last few weeks, and he's right. Our country's gone downhill bad. Bad. But I couldn't help but think of what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I like this part, and will heal their land. America can still turn to God. God can still bless America, but God will only do so when we turn from the sins that Boone talked about tonight. I was in Beacon Baptist Church last Sunday. John Raper, some of you remember John. John came out here a few times. John said that Beacon Baptist Church was going to hold prayer meetings and prayer vigils about the election coming up. We're not going to hold a vigil, but I do want to say this. I want to challenge every one of you to pray for our elections coming up. Our nation is in desperate need for leadership. Desperate need for leadership. And I don't have any problem praying one out of the White House to put one in. Amen. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And we're not promoting Democrat or Republican tonight. You know, they say that's illegal. But they say the church can lose its tax exempt status if they start talking politics. That's a fear tactic of the devil. It is not true. It is not true. Churches, if you don't believe the churches are talking about, look at the black churches, how they're promoting Democrat parties and going on TV about it. Now, IRS don't threaten them. We need to pray that God would move in America. Boone, thank you. Very timely, very challenging message tonight, that we would get a hold of horns of the altar for our nation. And it starts with us. It starts with us. I'll have Kyla to come this time. I don't know this evening. I don't want to drag the service, but our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If we're going to have revival in America, it doesn't start in the White House. It doesn't start at the courthouse. It starts not even in God's house, but at my house, in your house. If we're going to have what we need God to do in our country, we have to make sure our homes, our personal lives, are what they ought to be. We can't expect it on a national scale if we're not going to live it on a local scale. I don't know tonight, maybe God spoke to your heart to this message, Brother Boone, tonight. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I want to make sure my house is right where I can pray for the courthouse and the church house and the White House. But I want my house in order. I want to ask us to stand to our feet tonight. We're not going to drag the invitation, but Boone's done a phenomenal job speaking tonight. Right in line with all of our other guys, done a great job. Maybe you just feel the tug of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart tonight and say, preacher, I need to come and kneel before my Heavenly Father because I want my house in order. That I'd have the right to stand before God to pray for all the other houses in America. God's speaking to you tonight. Just going to ask you to step out from where you are. Just come to this old-fashioned altar and tell the Lord what's on your heart. You're not talking to me at the church. You're talking to the Lord. Tell the Lord what's on your heart tonight. You need to come. To come. Boone, thank you so much. Jessica, we're so proud of you guys, Boone, Jessica, and little Thomas. I'm encouraged. I'm discouraged, but I'm encouraged. You guys know the word was that, boy, they might have had to pull out of here in October or first of the year or something like that. And that was a real possibility. But now Boone's found out that it looks like that they're probably going to wind up going in February.
Yeah.
February to Kuwait. So unfortunately means he's going to have to go. But the fortunate thing is we get to keep Jessica and Thomas with us the next year. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. Bad news, we're losing you for a little bit. But at least we have Jessica and the baby with us for a little while longer. And so I'm going to ask you guys to go ahead and stand at the back door. Boone, stand with your family. Jessica, stand with your husband and little fella. Next Sunday night, Brother Jim Roberts will be speaking. I encourage you to come here, Brother Jim. I tell you, he and Miss Terry have proven themselves to be just a sweet couple. They are such sweet people in their spirits. Brother Jim, we are honored to have you and Miss Terry with us at Woodman Road. That's a fact. And again, if you'd like to speak, guys, we're not trying. I've got sermons already lined up for Sunday nights for the next several months. But I don't want to rob us of a blessing. If you'd like to speak, there's still an opportunity to do that. And so you pray about it, let us know, and be honored to have any of you guys to speak. It's a great honor. Jack, thank you for doing a good job last week. We got to hear the last few words of it. Didn't all get recorded, so I got to hear a little bit of it. But anyway, appreciate all you guys. And let's pray together. We'll be dismissed in a quick prayer. All right, let's pray together. Let's stay in Judas.
Father, again, thank you for bringing us all into your house this evening, that we could hear the message that Brother Boone brought to us, that we could share with others, and maybe even bring this nation of ours under your wing and back into your fold. Father, watch over us as we go about our ways this evening. Keep us all safe. Keep our boys and girls that are